There's something that's been on the back of my mind for a while. I've been reading and following a little bit about school shootings and gun violence in the USA. And just last week, you might remember that Audrey Hale, a 28-year-old former student, went into the Covenant Christian School in Nashville in the US and shot dead three adults in their 60s and three nine-year-old children. Now, it subsequently emerged that she had legally bought seven guns and hid them at home from family members. And I got thinking about that, and what surprised me the most really was how quickly that story disappeared from the general news agenda. It was all over the news wires for maybe 24 hours, and then it just kind of fell off the headlines, if you like. And that is probably because school shootings in the US and gun violence is just such an everyday occurrence. Pretty frightening to see how many school shootings there have been in the USA this year alone. And the way the figures are going, there's going to be, by the end of this year, it's going to be up and up and up, which is frightening, I think. Now, people from the States will have very strong views. A lot of them will have very strong views about gun control. But I thought we Irish can only kind of observe from the distance what is the situation in America. And we probably have our own views on it. But we don't really know unless we've lived in America, unless we've been American and seen for ourselves why people might want to have a gun. I thought it would be interesting to get an American's view on this. So Travis Gleason, who's been on the show with us a few times in the past, is a chef now living in Dingle. And he kindly agreed to pop in and have a chat with me about this. You're very welcome, Travis.
Deirdre, thank you very much. I'd much rather be talking about the work we're doing with the Cork Arena Food Network or a new book coming out or the cat weather out there, but it's an important topic, and I think you're right. It's something that you can't completely understand unless you've lived in America, and I think so many Americans mightn't actually understand it because, quite frankly, the history that many Americans learn when they're young is a combination of folklore and myth as much as anything else. So I think that has a big part of how guns fit into the American psyche.
What frightens me a little bit is how people have become almost blasé about it, dare I say. That shooting, just think about it, the most recent one. Three nine-year-old kids just gone, you know, three adults as well in their 60s, and I'm not saying one life is more valuable than another. And it kind of went off the news cycle quickly. It's kind of, oh, another school shooting.
It's, you know, I suppose it's a natural desensitization that the brain has to do. There have been so many school shootings. I mean, there was something like an average of 12 mass shootings, and that's more than four people killed, that not including the murderer. Something like 12 of them every day in America, or something like that last year. It was ridiculous. It was six or once every 12 days or something. I think they have to unplug, otherwise they would be so appalled they just couldn't get on with themselves.
So you lived in the States most of your adult life before you moved back here. Did you have a gun at any point?
I did. I suppose technically I still do. The shotgun that my father came up, he grew up on a poor boy on a farm, so that was part of, you know, hunting for food and keeping the varmints away from the animals, etc. That was, so I still have his single shot shotgun. It's back in America now in a gun safe. When I lived in Alaska, it was required that if we were to go hiking on the government property, so I was a Coast Guard navigator at the time, so if we were to go hiking, I lived on Kodiak Island, so the famous Kodiak brown bears there, they're 12 feet tall, and it was required of us that we went out armed. So I did have a pistol there as well.
To protect against the bears.
Yeah, so there was a bit of a Wild West to Alaska at the time. So I have owned weapons. I took training courses and all that. I hope that I was a responsible gun owner. The mythology of guns and the Second Amendment, which is the where the right to bear arms comes from, etc. It goes way back to a time where, I mean, the founding fathers of America are seen, they're venerated, they're almost saint-like, and the Constitution is seen in America almost as a sacred document, something that you hold to and then you interpret like sacred documents are interpreted, and it goes back to that, and then the mythology that I was talking about, and it is a mythology when it we talk about how America was formed and how people learn about it. It would be the equivalent, I suppose, saying that the Founding Fathers wanted Americans to have assault weapons, as many as they wanted or could afford, would be the same thing as saying that Irish roads are in the awful condition they are because Finn McCool built the Giant's Causeway and it's not that great a road.
So it's, as you say, a combination of mythology with a tiny bit of fact
it
thrown in.
It is indeed so.
But the Americans are so hell-bent on holding on to that right, though. You know, and I suppose they've always had that right to bear arms. And no more so than ourselves here, if someone tried to get rid of our language or whatever, when you've always had the right to do something, it's very hard to give that up.
You know, what the actual Second Amendment to the Constitution says, and I'll read it to you, is a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So that was part of the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights was a group of amendments that came into the Constitution at the time the Constitution was ratified. There were a number of states that would not ratify the Constitution, thus would not become members of the United States of America unless those amendments were added. And there was a number of states that were afraid. The tyranny of the crown that they had just freed themselves from was part of the reason. They said, well, the crown could do that to us as colonies. And remember, these were 13 individual colonies. There were actually 14. But 13 individual countries that they came together and formed the Continental Congress had never been done in colonies before. So there is something really extraordinary about the formation of America. But these smaller colonies becoming states, they didn't want to give over the possibility of tyranny. So it was all about a well-regulated militia to fight tyranny. That's why people were being allowed to have weapons. And let's remember, too, that we're talking about weapons that at the time took a minute or a minute and a half just to load, where now we have weapons that can get off 100 rounds of ammunition in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Why is it, like, the argument I hear all the time, and I try to follow both sides of it, is the people who are in favour of holding on to the status quo, you like, they say they have a right to protect themselves. I mean, is it that it's so dangerous in some parts of the states that you need a gun? I mean, did you ever feel you needed a gun to protect yourself when you lived at home?
I never did. Perhaps I'm lucky that I lived in a space that I never did. I know people who that is the main reason that they have the weapon or weapons that they have. I always thought that was thinking quite high of oneself, that to think that you were so important that someone was going to come after you and you needed to protect yourself. But some people, that is their mentality. Others is, we can, therefore we will. The document says we can, so we will. And
the problem is, though, is that people seem to be able to get them too easily, and there doesn't seem to be the same amount of background checks done on people. I know whether there should, I mean, obviously there should be, but I know different states have different rules as to who can get a gun and who can't, but at the same time, the practicality is that people who might be a little bit unhinged or a lot unhinged seem to be able to get guns no bother at all.
It appears that way, certainly. And I think that part of the psyche about it can come down to something in the 1970s that happened. I call it great politics and bad algebra. In the 70s, there was an organization called the Christian Coalition. And This was a group of, they called themselves reverends, but what they really were was CEOs of medium and large size religious organizations. I mean, if a trade organization, a trade union had that number of members, they would have been taken very seriously. And at the time, the National Rifle Association, known as the NRA, the NRA had been an organization about hunter safety and teaching children how to properly use rifles and use them well and hunting, etc. But during the 70s, the Christian Coalition noticed that they had an overlap with members with the National Rifle Association. And when I said this is really good politics, the best politicians in America aren't lawmakers. They aren't in Congress. The best people who wield political power and money for power, those people work on the outside of of government. And what they did was they realized that with this overlap between the Christian Coalition and the NRA, they could have access to each other's database. They could have each other's membership, etc. And suddenly, guns and God were put together in the conservative wave that was coming post-Jimmy Carter.
And now you have this massive lobby group.
It is. And to the point where, like I said, the bad algebra, where somehow solving for X, God meant guns and gun meant God. And if you were conservative and if you were a Christian, then you were sort of forced into this box where you believed that your rights were being threatened, so they needed to be defended, and you did that with more and bigger and faster and more powerful weapons.
And of course, Donald Trump, to an extent, fed into people of that mindset.
That pot was always near a boil. He just took the lid off it.
Okay, and yet he was all about reforming gun laws in the States for a while, and then all of a sudden it fell off the agenda for him. I would imagine he has bigger problems this week, but anyway.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing, and I hope that your listeners are understanding. I'm not defending one side or another. I'm just trying to explain the psyche, the ethos. I mean, that Americans' frontier was conquered by Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett and people with guns, and it was law-abiding marshals out in the West that kept the gunmen at bay, etc. Reading American history is like reading an autobiography more than it is a history text in a lot of cases. So this myth about how important America is to itself and how important it is to defend that and how we're the defenders of the democracy around the world, etc. So the idea that someone was going to take away a right that has been built up and built up, that idea of a well-regulated militia, that was struck down by the Supreme Court in the early 2000s when Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, tried to put in a handgun ban. So they tried to say you can't own a handgun unless you have a permit or whatever. And the Supreme Court said no. And they were doing that law based on the Washington, D.C. doesn't have a militia.
Okay. So you're saying, to sum it up, Travis, is that there's something deeply embedded in the psyche of American people that they don't want to give up this right to bear arms.
The people who wield the power and the money.
In the States.
I would say that the majority of people have an opinion that there should be some regulation. And let's remember, in America, there are more guns than there are automobiles. There are more guns than there are mobile phone or smartphone users. That's how many guns are there. So, quite frankly, if you were to ask me, do I think that this will be fixed? I can't see that there's any will. If after Sandy Hook, politicians weren't willing to even reinstate a ban on assault weapons, I can't imagine how it'll ever change.
And Barack Obama said it was the greatest failure of his political career that he never managed to sort out that whole issue of gun violence.
And I would have to say that a number of parents every day whose children don't come home would have to agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, it's from what you're saying, it's not even down to the president of the day. It's a far wider issue than that.
There was an assault weapons ban that came on in the 90s because of a school shooting that had happened in Stockbridge, California, I believe it was. And they banned these high-powered semi-automatic weapons. But in order to get that passed, they put a 10-year sunset on that law. And when the 10 years came up, there wasn't enough political will to spend the political capital. And by that point, the money that the National Rifle Association has embedded into Congress makes it nearly impossible. And again, you've got that whole sector of America that believes that they're bearing those arms, them having those weapons, is somehow protecting them, their families, and their nation from the others.
Okay. Well, I think I'm glad I live in Ireland where it's very, very difficult to get a gun.
As am I, and that's why I'm here.
And one of the reasons why you're here. Travis, look, I know we've only just touched on it really, but at least we've opened the debate and it'll be interesting to see what the listeners have to say about it. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Always a pleasure to be here, thank you. And I hope your listeners take this opportunity to really think about what it is like to live in a country that has that kind of, inverted commas, freedom, and what great freedoms we have here in Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. Thank you so much for joining us in studio, Travis Gleeson. 17 minutes past two, folks. I'd love your views on this. 066-712-3666. We'd love to hear from you. We will be back in just a moment.